happy today to welcome Dr. Howard Benedict. And we've known each other, seems like forever. We're here to have a discussion about stress. I'm going to bring Dr. Benedict on. Hi.
Hey, it's good to see you again. And it has been a long time.
It has been a long time. It has.
You have not aged a bit.
Thank you. 100 years later, I'm still looking pretty good, right?
No stress.
No stress.
No stress.
That's normal. Oh my God, the sky is falling. The sky is falling.
This is the no stress look at the future.
Well, you know, I used to say years ago that stress becomes me. Like, did I make a pact with what's the painter? Dorian Gray? Like,
go.
No, I didn't make any pact. But you know, I was saying earlier, I was recording something about stress. I mean, you know, some stress is good stress, right? The eustress stress. I mean, it's stress that helps us to move past. I mean, it's like the fight or flight stress. I mean, in an immediate crisis, you have an opportunity to like get those hormones going and run for the dickens, you know, run for the hills, or stand there and fight.
Right. What I explain to my patients is if you didn't have any stress in your life would be pretty boring.
Yeah.
So what people need to understand is stress is a normal everyday wear and tear that your body goes through. The question is not so much the stress or the stressors, which is actually the correct terminology. It's how your body adapts to that stress. And what a lot of people don't understand, the process of how you deal with stress starts very early on in life. So things that happen to you or to your mother during the conception process and being in the mother's belly for that period of time, that kind of sets a tone that in some people it's hard for them to adapt to because they're maladapting to stress.
Yeah.
And that's what's interesting, that people think, well, I just lost my job, but that's the stress that I'm under. Because no, that's not the stress that you're under. And more importantly, people usually look at stress, is it good stress or bad stress?
Right.
And they define it in their history. Well, like you told me before, your kids are going to college. That's pretty stressful to pay for that. But it's good stress.
It's good stress, yeah.
Right, getting a promotion.
Except when I get the bill.
Well, it's almost like...
No, but it's kind of a happy stress. I mean, it's a celebratory. Like, oh, thank God my kids are going to college. Thank God they're, you know, during this pandemic, they're able to take some classes. They're able to get some classes.
So it's really not so much the stress, but how does your body adapt?
Adapt to it.
And luckily, we have a built-in stress mechanism that was described by a Canadian researcher, Hans Selye, which was the general adaptation syndrome. That when you're exposed to stress, your body has to deal with it. And it goes through certain phases of the stress response, which you noted already, the alarm phase, which is the fight or flight response. And that's driven by part of our nervous system called the sympathetic nervous system. And when I teach, I define it as that's the gas to our stress response. So if there's gas, there has to be a break. And that's the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest. Unfortunately, as people get older, the brakes don't work as well. So you have more and more stress, more and more stress hormones. And now we know that what's called the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, not to confuse too many
HPA, for
the
sure.
HPA axis.
Right.
Well, this is new terminology. We used to call it years ago, oh, you have functional hypoadrenia. You have low adrenal glands. You're not producing enough good hormones. You're producing too much cortisol. Well, that's old terminology. So it's the HPA axis. And that axis kind of integrates with the immune system, the endocrine system, and the nervous system. So for chiropractors, see, when there's enough stress in the body, you get inflammation. And when you have enough inflammation, you get body inflammation and ultimately brain inflammation.
Yeah.
So this
inflammation, I mean, we know it goes to like cardiovascular disease, it goes to diabetes,
everything.
It goes to autoimmune issues. It's all these chronic syndromes.
Well, not only that, but now you see people, or I see a lot of people coming to my office, fatigue.
That burnout syndrome. Yeah.
Depression, anxiety, and most importantly, brain fog. Not Alzheimer's disease, but brain fog. And what's even more important is when there's enough body inflammation, it affects an important nerve in the body called the vagus. And the vagus nerve is what is part of your parasympathetic nervous system. So now you have all kinds of problems going on with people in their gut, and they have more bacteria overgrowth in their gut. They have digestive problems. So you're dealing with not just looking at, see what we do, which is different. We're looking at the whole person.
Right.
We're looking at a person that's presenting to our office with a whole bunch of different complaints. And we're trying to find out what's the underlying cause, as opposed to a medical practitioner who's looking at, well, you have high blood pressure. We're going to treat your high blood pressure.
Right. And it's one of the things, I mean, with the area of medical specialty, mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when I was taking to my mother, taking my mother to different doctors, and she'd say, you know, can you check my blood pressure? He'd say, oh no, I don't do that. Go to your general practitioner, your okay. internist. I specialize in something else, pulmonary function.
Right.
And we both looked like amazed. What do you mean? I mean, a doctor is a doctor is a doctor, and your function should be healing the patient.
But they come from, we're going to try and diagnose you. We're going to give you a name, a disease, because this way we can bill your insurance company. So it's not Nina with hypertension. It's Nina with, you know, ICD-10 code 9742 or whatever. I mean, I saw this very early in practice. I had a patient who was a photographer. He fell off a ladder and broke his leg. You know how many doctors I had to call? Orthopedists who were workers' comp orthopedists who worked on broken legs? Because I would call up and say, yeah, he's workers' comp, only neck problems. Next doctor, workers' compensation, he deals
wrist.
With the foot or the wrist. Right. Don't you have a guy that deals
general,
with
a general.
The guy broke his leg? This is a big problem because the medical is looking at reducing your symptoms with a drug. And we know now that the average person is probably taking 7 or 8 different medications prescribed by 7 or 8 different doctors.
Right.
Who don't communicate with one another, as opposed
and all of those drugs have a potential side effect. I mean, most of them, I'd say 100% of them do have side effects. And then you get that compounded effect of one drug creates, you know, one drug may create right. hypertension. One drug may create hair loss. One drug may create weight gain. And so then you start taking, you know, other drugs to counteract the effect of the first drug.
And that's why you see now when they advertise drugs, before you even get to the drug and what it does, which they usually don't tell you, it's all the side effects.
Side effects. In worst cases, may cause death.
Yeah, and they all say the same thing, constipation, diarrhea.
Yeah.
You shouldn't take this if you're taking this. You should talk to your doctor. I mean, how many times have patients told me they went to their pharmacy? And because the pharmacist has a computer program that will say, well, you can't take this drug because you're taking this drug.
Right.
They would be willing to take the drug.
Right. Yeah.
So the whole thing that we look at as chiropractors or functional practitioners, because in New York State, I can't say functional medicine, but a functional doctor is to look at the functionality of a patient.
Right.
What's going on?
Yeah.
How do I integrate that together? And how does integrating that make the patient be responsible for their own health and wellness?
They
come to your office, you really don't have that much contact. So you want to try and educate them to say, okay, this is what's going on. This is what we need to do or what you need to do. Because we can give them the best supplements to take. We can give them the best diet. Right. We can tell them to meditate. We can tell them to do all of these things. But if they don't do it, there's nothing much. But it's easier for them to take a pill.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what it comes down to.
Well, I always say when people come to see me, they're ready to do the work because I always require work. I require a certain level of responsibility because ultimately I feel I am an educator. That's my job. Let me help you because my motto has always been make your body a better place to live. And I'll tell people, you're your own best doctor. You know yourself better. So let me ask you the right questions like a detective and try to uncover what's actually going on with you. And it doesn't matter, you know, Western world, we have to name everything. We have to locate everything. But sometimes it's just really the healing process. Like it might be an emotional block, right?
You
might not
know.
Think you're ever getting better.
When
you might really feel, I can't get better. I mean, I did a lecture on you know, genetics and epigenetics, because the idea is that, you know, you may be born with a certain gene, but it doesn't mean that that will define you.
Right. Your genes don't change. Our genes haven't changed in thousands and thousands of years.
So it's really
genes, what, how your genes are expressed.
The expression is the epigenetics of it.
And I learned very early on, because my diagnosis professor said, see what's wrong with you guys? You're constantly taking notes. You're not listening to the patient. The patient will tell you in the first minute or two
what's going on.
So why should I argue when a patient comes in? My neck hurts. I think I have a pinched nerve. Okay, maybe there you go. You got a pinched nerve. To go through all of this rigmarole and just to say and support, okay, now that you have that, what are we going to do? What can we do to change how you do things on a day-to-day basis? And it's the same thing with stress. It's not just about giving patients supplements. And this is where you really come in, because you're really into the other end of the equation about support in terms of their lifestyle, their sleeping habits, which now has become very big. How do you sleep? How many hours do you sleep? I'm dealing with a patient now with anxiety and depression. And the one thing I never asked the person, because she worked for Metro North, she worked at night.
Your whole rhythmic system off.
I never took that into account, other than another guy when I was first in practice, and I did this incredible diet for this guy and this whole workup. And he looked at it and he threw it back to me and he said, I can't do this. And I said, why? What, you came to me for this? He says, I work at night. He says, when I come home, the first thing I do, I want to go to sleep. You're having me have breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah.
So circadian rhythms and how that affects hormones. I mean, it's really a job, a detective's job that we go through to kind of find out what's wrong and how do we support that patient in their overall health and well-being.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us a better practitioners, because we're constantly learning and how we can help people understand that, okay, yes, you have stress. You're under these stressors. How does your body respond to it? What's happening? And it's not simply giving you a pill, giving you a hormone, or giving you whatever. It's a whole program of care.
Care, yeah, exactly.
And you can only do so much, because at some point you just got to say, look, this is up to you.
Definitely. Well, I remember, you know, what I always say is my call to action as a doctor was when I started seeing in the mid 80s, people that were coming in with diagnosed HIV. And that was before anybody knew what it was. It was this vague lymphadenopathy and they hadn't really, you know, diagnosed it per se. And then it came through with HIV. And then I had patients coming in with blood results and they were having white blood cells of like 1.0. And then the doctors were saying to their medical doctors were saying, you know what, your white blood cell count is really low. You have 3 months to live. Go home and get your things in order.
Talk about a supportive.
And I said, oh my God. I said, you know what? I'm sorry you had to hear that, but doctors are not God. Nobody knows what your lifetime is. Let's get to work, because they had some very functional, you know, issues. One was diarrhea, one was malnutrition. Mm-hmm. So I said, let's work on that. Let's make sure your protein level's up. Let's make sure, you know, your diarrhea is stopped. Let's get you on fiber. Let's get you on nutrients. And so I always say that was my spiritual awakening to how the body can heal itself. And that even though, you know, society at large, doctors at large were saying, no, fatal diagnosis. I mean, I went on to do my nutrition based on that. My thesis, HIV, weight loss and diarrhea. And it really inspired me, because I had patients that went on to live that were told 3 months, like years, 5 years, 10 years. I had patients live 20 years with a diagnosis of AIDS. So it really inspired me to say, hey, your body heals itself. The body has the miraculous nature of that. You just need to support it with their tools.
Right. When you put it out into the universe.
Exactly.
Just put it out there. It's amazing. I mean, even if you look at now in the midst of all the craziness with COVID, it's only been recently that they've come out with all these articles. You know what? We really should have addressed obesity. We really should have addressed vitamin D deficiency. We really should have addressed blood sugar irregularities. We should have addressed some other concern that
yeah, all the inflammatory reaction.
Right.
And
we had addressed that first. But unfortunately, we're geared towards, you know, the home run.
Yeah.
Vaccine.
What's the quick fix? What's the vaccine? What's the drug that's going to, you know, cure cholesterol? Right. You know, it's like cholesterol is not the thing that kills you. It's the inflammatory process that kills you.
Look how
I was saying most of these chronic diseases are really lifestyle choices. I mean, how we eat.
It's inflammation that has not been resolved.
Exactly.
I teach a lot on inflammation. And the one thing that always comes up is non-resolution of inflammation.
Yeah. Because and that's all that long COVID cases that we're seeing now.
Well, people are taking supplements to reduce inflammation.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're going to feel better. Of course, the symptoms may improve, but it's such a small part of the picture.
Yeah.
Because unresolved inflammation leads to all of these chronic conditions.
Yeah. Dementia.
I remember teaching in
cancer,
college.
Dementia, I mean, autoimmune issues. I mean, all those things are really triggered.
I remember teaching in college and we were talking about the gut and I was talking about bacteria. And I said, boy, you have so much more bugs in your body than you even can imagine. And some student in the background, you mean I'm full of bugs?
Right.
And I said,
if the truth be known,
you want the academic answer. And she said, of course. I said, yeah. You're full of viruses, you're full of bacteria, you're full of fungi, you're full of all of this stuff, but that's not the problem. How does your body maintain? And it's amazing because I thought chiropractors we owned homeostasis. That was a term that you would never see in a medical journal. And I read 10, 15 articles maybe every day. And then I start reading, oh my God, blood sugar homeostasis, immune homeostasis. They're taking our word.
Right.
And so I went back as a chiropractor and I had never read. And the first day I went to chiropractic school, I bought the book from D.D. Palmer. And it was on my shelf for 40 something years. And I was reading this article this guy wrote and he called it, "May the Force Be With You."
He said that.
Yeah. And he has all these quotes from Star Wars. And this guy is like a leading neurologist at UCLA Medical School. And I said, oh my God, this is great. And I just said, you know what? Where is that book? So I dove into the closet. And of course, on the bottom, D.D. Palmer, the chiropractic adjuster or whatever, because I went to National. So you didn't talk about
it. Oh, National was medically based, right?
Yeah. You know, we were mixers. You didn't go to a straight school like Palmer or whatever. And I started reading the book and I said, oh my God, this guy was really onto some good stuff, but was almost embarrassing to talk about that. There was energy in the body that flowed.
Right.
And we had the ability to harness that energy through manipulation, through diet, through exercise, all of these things. That now
innate and universal energy, you know, it's interesting because the innate, for people that don't understand that, innate energy is the energy within us and the universal is the universal force energy. And the Chinese talk about the same thing. They talk about the microcosmic orbit.
Right. So what are they talking about now as it relates to the immune system? The innate immune response.
Right.
And I saw that and I was like, wow, there is an innate immune response. There's got to be something for the rationale of just using that term for that. And it's very, very interesting. Yeah. And then I came across this. You know what percentage of medical schools teach nutrition? 25%.
Well, and also, you know, years ago, I spoke to a medical student and I said, like, what are you studying? Do you study a lot of nutrition? She said, what a joke. Yeah, this had to be like 10, 15 years ago, but she said, what a joke. She said, nutrition is scheduled during a lunch hour and most of us won't do it. You know, it's an elective.
Because it's an elective.
Exactly.
It's an elective. Yeah. Yet now.
To do a core study because, you know, even when you study biochemistry, I mean, I remember I was so entranced with it, you know, as part of my
So you spent $100 on charts that you put up on the wall to try and memorize the Krebs cycle or something.
But that's where you get to understand why we need nutrients.
Right.
Where magnesium comes in, where coenzyme Q10 comes in, where vitamin C comes in. I mean, they're necessary nutrients. And, you know.
So I'll admit I'm a slow learner. It took me 38 years to figure out that that stuff was actually important.
Really?
How come?
You didn't study with Jeff Bland?
Oh, of course I did.
Right.
And I still follow him, but still.
He's a mastermind, yeah.
I used to go to his lectures and walk up to him and say, Jeff, I have no idea what you're talking about.
But it sounds
incredible. And one year, I don't know why, I was into women's health issues. And he talked a lot about detoxification and some other topics. And I walked up to him and I said, Jeff, you're losing your touch. And he said, why? I said, I understood everything you were talking about. He says, next year you won't. I went next year, Jeff, I have no idea what you're talking about, but it sounds good. I mean, he's been a phenomenal mentor to me.
He's brilliant. He's the mind.
He's doing. And when I lecture, it's amazing that most chiropractors. So when I lecture, I might get 30, 50 chiropractors. None of them are doing nutrition in their practice.
Really? That's unusual.
So I'm all prepared to do this great high tech seminar. And then I say, so how many doctors in the room are doing nutrition? Three. And then
really?
I say to myself, oh, I'm overprepared. How can I talk to them about this stuff?
Yeah.
They're not going to understand anything. But at least it's a starting point where they can see, they can wet their palate, so to speak, and get them to understand.
Yeah.
Like I did, you adjust a patient, you're going to get great results. You put in some physical therapy, you're going to get better results. You put in lifestyle modification, even better results. Now you put in nutrition. Wow, you're offering something that the average guy is not offering. And
yeah.
It's hard to believe since we're both diplomates, you know, there's like 115.
It's board certified in nutrition.
Nutrition.
Yeah. So I don't, it always astounds me. I always think nutrition should be first line, baseline. Like every doctor, anyone who's a healthcare practitioner in the country, in the world, needs to start with the basic foundation of nutrition, because that's where it all starts. I mean, I'm fortunate, you know, my mother is Italian descent, my father Chinese descent. I grew up with like really great tasting food, but healthy, you know, kind of country peasant food. I mean, it was all fresh.
Yeah, but it was all fresh and it wasn't dealing with any chemicals. And, you know, it was cooked properly.
Yeah, I didn't grow up with frozen foods or processed food or any of that, you know.
I mean, it's kind of embarrassing that there's only 100. I think the last time I checked, 115 chiropractors are certified as diplomate. I mean, that's not even two in the state. Imagine in New York State. So we got these two, you and me. Where is there anybody else in New York State? So we know a couple. So that means New York State is like clogging the market with diplomates. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It really is crazy.
Yeah. And even so that, you know, 80% of all the chronic illness is really, I would say, nutrition based. I mean, it's chronic illness from, you know, too much fat, too much sugar, too much processed food. I mean, so it's clogging up our bodies and the medical expenses are off the chart. So now we're designing drugs to prevent things or to stop things or to curb conditions that should have been stopped 20 or 30 years ago, because these things all take 20 to 30 years to show up in the body, right? I mean, overnight.
The number one question when I lecture, this is great information. How much vitamin C do I give my patient? It's like, wait a minute. Didn't you listen?
Right.
There are ways to evaluate your patients, doing blood tests, whatever. I mean, now I'm very big into genomic testing. You can checking genes and everything. And they'll say, yeah, I got that. So how much N-acetylcysteine?
Right.
It's like, you know, you got to give it to your patient and you have to watch the response,
see the result. Yeah.
Everybody's different. I mean, Roger, you know, what was his name? Roger Williams wrote a book, Biochemical Individuality. Everybody's different.
Right.
So.
And I say too, I mean, and also different stages of your life. What you need at 20 is different than what you need at 70, than what you need if you're a woman or a man, teenager. I mean, what do you, you know, if you're pregnant, not pregnant, if you're in menopause, perimenopause.
Right. Because your hormone levels go down. And
that's why it's an art and not quite a science. You know, I mean, the science is there, but it's really the art of healing.
Right. That's what I tell my patients. Everybody learns the science to some degree. It's the art of healing.
Yeah.
The art of communicating with the patient and really getting on the same level with them as to what are you looking for? If you're looking for a fast, quick, you know, like one adjustment. I remember a patient came into me and he was all antalgic And I said to him, did you ever have this happen before? He says, 10 years ago, I was a lumberjack in Washington. I came off and fell off a tree, landed on my back. I went like this. I went to a chiropractor. He adjusted me one time and went away. And now I'm here again. And so adjust me. I said, is that what you're looking for? I said, he said, yes. I said, you should see someone else. I'm not a one adjustment chiropractor. Right. I'm looking at the whole
the lifestyle. Yeah.
I'm not looking at just that.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think what's manifesting.
It's a journey, isn't it? I mean, health is a journey. I'll tell people, you know, you can't just eat one good meal in your life and think like that's finished. That's it.
Yeah, no, tomorrow we're back.
You need to eat every day. You need to drink every day. You need to eat every day. And you have to be healthy every day. I mean, it's, you know.
Telling patients to keep a 24-hour intake or a weekly diary, because the first thing they'll say to you, but you know what? I don't eat like this. This was an unusual week. Really? Do it another week. And it's like, okay, so it's the same food intake on the same day. So Monday is pasta night. Tuesday, you might eat fish. Wednesday, you're doing this. So what's different about it? Yeah, but I don't usually eat like that. That's a very unusual week. So you just gave me 2 weeks that are exactly the same.
Right.
People don't realize the trends that they get into. And Carlton Fredericks was the one who said, when you go into a grocery store, shop on the outside of the store. That's where everything fresh is. Because once you're in the middle, it's all processed, it's all boxed, it's all whatever. And
now, do you remember? I mean, it just brought to mind. I mean, my first book on nutrition, it wasn't a straight nutrition, but it was, remember Back to Eden by Jethro Kloss?
I still have that book. Somewhere. I mean, this was amazing, earth-shattering.
Yeah, earthiness, right?
Now, back we were to getting basics. That didn't, because we were indoctrinated in chiropractic school. Okay, this, and these are the supplements you can, or this is the company. Like you're going to use Standard Process, or you're going to use this slab, or you're just, I mean, I have doctors now. There are other vitamin companies other than, I won't give the name, but I never realized. Where have you been? Like, go on the internet, search out vitamins. Because they say, where should I start? And I said, go online to all of these vitamin companies, sign up for their emails. And they'll send you information if you want to read it. You don't. But I mean, get the same way a person will come in and say, I don't understand. You sell me the supplement for $40. I just went to a health food store. I can get 10 bottles of this product for $40. Why are you ripping me off for $40? I said, don't you think there's a difference? You're buying 10 bottles for $40. I'm giving you one product for $40. Yeah, maybe. I said, you know, you really need to read. See, this is another thing. People aren't taught how to read a label.
Reading labels.
Read a supplement label.
And also the quality. And because you can get a very cheap calcium supplementation. And basically, you're taking calcium as chalk, like dolomite.
Right.
I mean, it's like it's not going to have the same efficacy.
I love to stand in the aisle of Costco and listen to husbands and what talking about buying supplements and why they're buying things. And my wife says, don't say anything. Because I listen to, it's ridiculous what their decision making is based upon. And then suddenly you have to explain to them, well, this is part of the job. Why the supplement? Because they'll say, well, why are you choosing? Because I've used it on hundreds of patients.
Right.
And this is what the literature shows. And this is what the results are coming from. You can take what you want, but I can't guarantee, because everybody wants to know, well, I've been taking this for stress. I don't feel any different. Maybe you won't, because it's not about you missing a specific nutrient. It's a whole lifestyle.
It's a whole lifestyle.
You're still sleeping 2 hours a night and you're drinking or you're smoking and your diet is horrific. You think taking a supplement is going to change, or how long is it going to take? This is the other thing that gets me. They'll go to their doctor and the doctor, oh, you have high cholesterol. I'm putting you on Lipitor. The patient walks out of there thinking, what? I'm going to be on Lipitor the rest of my life. They come to my office. Okay, I'm putting you on this specific supplement, this probiotic. What do you think, doc? 30 days? Wait a minute. You're willing to take Lipitor for the rest of your life, But a probiotic, which is really going to have a major, major impact on your overall health and well-being. Let's try it for 30 days.
And we need forever them. And we'll have no side effects.
Yeah. But they don't, they hear $30 well, versus $2.
Because that's why, education becomes really important to understand why you're taking certain things, how it works. I mean, the whole GI system, the whole gut brain interaction.
But luckily, we're lucky in the sense when patients come to us, they're already sick and what Bland used to say, they're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Right. Exactly.
So they're already coming and saying, look, I've done all of this stuff, which could be good or bad. I heard you can help me with this. And now you got to get down to grassroots with this patient and say, look, you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get the same results.
Yeah.
So the question is, what do you want to do? Do you want to make a change? Are you committed to making the change? And what support are you going to need? Because if you're going to come home and your husband's eating McDonald's all the time and drinking beer and doing whatever, if you're not going to get any support, that's another stressor. Right. That you don't need.
Yeah.
So it's all about explaining to the patient, educating them, trying to get them to understand you're there to support them, that this is like a team effort. This is not about, here, take this paper, this is your diet, call me in a year, and we'll see how you're doing.
Yeah. This is a real, what I call, you know, the lifestyle medicine, right? We all call functional lifestyle medicine. So it takes... It takes a village sometimes, and you've got to get all your team members on board with it.
Unfortunately, what begins to happen is you realize as the healer, and I'm sure you've seen this too, you're more involved in your patient's health and wellness than they are. And they're driving.
Why I always feel that if people are coming, they're coming because they're motivated. So maybe as a doctor, educator, teacher, healer, inspirer, of you can do this, because my motto I've been using is at any age, you can recreate yourself. So that's why a lot of times it starts with the mindset. I mean, you have to say it's your mindset that's going to get you better, and you don't have to believe because it's not as a religion, but the thing is try it on for size, expect a miracle, and then start to journal like what and how your body is actually changing day by day. So that's the whole, you know, let's go on a 3-month journey together, and let's see, you're coming in with all these, you know, symptoms. Let's see at the end of 3 months what we need to reevaluate.
Right, because patients don't really realize. I remember early on, I was treating this guy who was told he needed spinal surgery on his cervical spine, on his neck. And I treated him, no symptoms, everything. And I walk into the exam room and he's sitting there like with a really drawn, he says, what's the problem? And I remember, so I said to him, if you could do anything, what would you want to do? He says, I'm waiting for you to tell me I can go bowling. And I said, that's it? I said, you have no numbness, you have no tingling, you don't need surgery. Yeah, but I need you to tell me I can go bowling. That's what I want to do. Okay, go bowling.
Right. Just make sure you win the game.
It's not like I can think that in my head and say, what would you like to do? But I think what motivates people to come to us, pain and pleasure. So there's got to be enough pain. There's got to be enough of not feeling well to finally say, I know something's wrong. I'm coming to you. Can you please help me? And I think a big component is maladaption to stress.
Yeah.
This overreactive hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which needs to be calmed down, and the person has to be educated about, because most of the things they can do, it's not like you're telling them something, and most of them probably realize that. Yeah. Right. I should sleep more. I get too aggravated.
Some of the things are really basic, but people need to be reminded. I mean, because it's a lifestyle choice.
Well, like anything else. So when I talk to someone, or even before talking to you, things come up and I'm like, yeah, that's a really good point. I kind of lodged that all the way back in my computer brain or in my file cabinet that, yeah, that's an interesting point to remember the next time I'm in my office. So patients need to really understand that it's a team effort. There's a lot of things that go into your overall health and wellness. So are you really like a banking account? Are you making more deposits in your health and well-being? Or are you constantly withdrawing at the ATM? Because at some point, the ATM is going to say, you can't, there's nothing there anymore.
Yeah, I like to use the car analogy. You know, sometimes we like a car. I mean, we've got a 2-gallon reserve and sometimes we're running on empty. So you need to fill up the reserve and then kind of fill up the tank.
Right. Because so, what's the, you know, what's the message that most people's, I don't understand this. It worked yesterday. Yeah.
Well, also, you know, people, I tell them, sometimes you tune up your car better than you tune up your own body. Think Absolutely. About tuning up your body because your body better go the long haul.
Well, people,
you know, we get rid of cars. You don't want to get, you can't really, I mean, not yet. I mean, who knows? Well,
what's, when you see people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s who are dealing with really chronic conditions that are manageable by, you know, lifestyle modification, it's really sad that nobody took the time. It was like my mother-in-law who had diabetes, but she continued to smoke. And she, because at that time, many years ago, there was nobody who specialized in diabetes. You went to your general practitioner who
and gave everybody you, smoked.
Yeah, and gave you insulin. And nobody talked about what the diet and exercise and things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, Dr. Howard. Well, this has been a great discussion. We'll continue with some different pointers of stress reduction and to be had and going deeper and deeper into depth about it. So
thank
you so much. Yeah, it's been really fantastic.
It's good to see you again after
40 years. 100 years.
But like I said, I always remember because your kids share my birthday. So that'll always be ingrained.
Yeah.
That your kids and
they're
going to catch up with me soon in age.
Soon. Or they'll start going backwards like me.
Oh, see. You seem to be doing it okay. Okay, well, it was great talking to you.
Yeah,
and look forward to it in the future. All right?
Take care.
All right, you be well. Bye-bye.